This is Hot Tech with Jan Vermeulen.
Apologies for keeping you waiting, Ian, especially when such an interesting day. So much to discuss. SA Post Office on the brink of collapse. Really?
Yes, so this is just an update on stuff that we had reported earlier in the year, towards the end of last year. I don't know, it bleeds together so much. But we found, after folks reported to us, that there were a number of post offices in the Pretoria area that had been kicked out of where they were renting. Sure. In one case, the office was still vacant, so the post office could go back after it paid its backlog in rent. In the other case, the premises that the post office was operating out of had been rented to someone else, so that post office could find someplace else to go. But yes, this comes, it's a warning from the DA's shadowed Deputy Minister of Communications and Digital Technologies, Cameron McKenzie, who said that there's still reports of unpaid rentals, desperate suppliers, postal backlogs, and broken ICT systems. And this whole system's on the brink of collapse despite 8 billion in bailouts since 2014.
Ian, I lived in Australia for a while and the Australian Post Service made a mint. The move to online purchasing made a market
yes.
for them that they never had. Why did South African Post Office miss this opportunity?
Yeah, that's a great one. And, that's exactly, you know, while we were critical of Mark Barnes and rightly so, there's been a executive crisis at the post office since Barnes, left. And, Barnes said that part of the problem was, and he, you have to kind of read between the lines a little because he can't speak out too candidly at the moment. There might be some, non-disclosure stuff that he's sure. still bound yes. by or whatever. But the bottom line is that government just did not give him the leeway he needed to do exactly that. He says there is no post office in the world which has succeeded in the new age without access to the national payment system and financial transactions. It is no longer about post. It is about having a government infrastructure, a series of two-way channels which have a huge relevance in the modern world. And exactly what you're talking about there, it has to be able to enable payments, handle the SASSA grants sure. smartly. There's so many ways in which the post office could have been a real vehicle for providing services to those who have been underserviced. And because of infighting, backbiting, corruption, governments just squandered that opportunity.
Quite remarkable, really remarkable. The other story that is remarkable is the reaction from WhatsApp to People Power.
Yes, as I thought might happen, they've delayed the implementation of their new privacy policy. Instead of the ultimatum date of 8 February, they've now moved that out to the 15th of May while they try to explain things to people better. I don't know if...
Well, that is interesting. Yeah, because articles that I were reading saying they actually don't care. They can lose 70 million subscribers. It doesn't matter to them. They want to monetize what remains, and that's still a good business proposition.
Yes, the danger comes when the pendulum swings. So right now what we're seeing is people using Telegram and Signal in addition to WhatsApp. But the more people you bleed and the more people move from one social network to the other, Danny Fonsale from Vodacom describes it as a seesaw effect. And I love that analogy because it's exactly that. The weight shifts on the seesaw slowly. And then all at once. That's how MySpace died.
Interesting, interesting, interesting. And then lastly for this afternoon, and apologies is because I crossed late, but again, fascinating. Students must get more mobile data according to the government.
Yes, I'm very glad you're speaking about this one. I would love to speak more about Mirror Trading International, but folks can just check out the segment I helped out with on Carte Blanche. I want to speak about this story because I'm angry. I've actually been looking for audio of went to YouTube and listened to Nzimande say this, and he said that government was tired of begging for data during times of crisis. And I'm going, the provision of data to students should be long term. Now, a couple of things. Don't get me wrong. Yes, students deserve data, and not just students, yeah. but South Africans. you know, deserve to be connected and have access to the best educational resources available to them. But we do forget sometimes that, you know, what the meaning of the word right is. And it's sort of conflated with the opposite of privilege. And that's not true. Education is still a privilege. There are many people around the world who do not have access to that privilege. But I'm already getting myself off on a tangent. My issue is with this word begging, that government goes to beg from the network operators to give data. And that speaks to me of extreme government arrogance. It's like, oh, we're tired of begging. We are the government. You must roll this stuff out for free. You know, it's like this, like living in a complete alternate reality where, things just don't cost any money to operate. Like, you know, we can have arguments about the cost of data in South Africa, another time, but the fact is there is some cost and there will always be some cost to run these networks. And if it weren't for the private industry running these networks,
yeah, just to play devil's advocate, it's not as if they're not making profits, these companies, and they're not making very significant profits in a country where people can't read and write. I mean, maybe there is some kind of duty to give back. I don't know. I'm just putting it there.
And they do. The thing is, if you go and analyze the taxes, they pay their fair share of tax. They contribute to a thing called the USAF, the Universal Services and Access Fund. There's all kinds of taxes and obligations on them and more to come. And that's fine. Government now needs to use that money that they've been collecting to empower their constituents and the people who elected them to power. So to go, yeah, we'll take this money from you. And now you must give, you know, people free stuff, and somehow still keep selling data, below the prices where you want to sell them because we decreed so. Like it just smacks to me of extremely autocratic tendencies, and it worries me. Is all I'm saying. Like, the fact that government wants to be able to it basically wants to treat networks like extensions of state-owned enterprises. And it messed up, its opportunities with Telkom. I just don't want to see government's fingers in the telecommunications industry because they will wreck it. Everything they've touched in tech, they've wrecked. And it's one of the few things in this country that works well.
Network.
I'm
going to have to stop you on your roll. I'm loving the passion. I'm absolutely lapping it all up. I'm going to have to leave it because I need 2 minutes to summarize the show this evening. But that was fantastic talking to you this afternoon. Hopefully you're as fired up next time we talk next week.
I'm sure there'll be something.
Cheers, Jan. Thank you so very much.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.